Well, good morning.
Good morning.
We want to welcome all of you this morning. We're so glad that you're with us on this 10th Sunday after Pentecost. And we have gathered together in the name of the Lord and receive of His grace and give of our praise and our prayers and be strengthened by His word today. And we are so grateful and thankful that we are able to gather together as the people of God. A little bit later on, I'm going to be talking a little bit about God restore us. And I asked that question, have you ever been desperate with God? And we're going to look at that from one of our psalms a little bit later. So as we begin, let's stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria.
Glory be to the Father.
Let's join together for our call to worship this morning. In a world uprooted at every turn,
we come
the Holy One who led the people out of Egypt, let us join in song to God. Yes, and let's turn in our hymn books to hymn number 638, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint. In my heart, there rings a melody. We're going to be singing the first three verses there.
I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven. A sweeter melody, 'tis a melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. I love the Christ who died on Calvary, for He washed my sins away. He put within my heart a melody, and I know it's there to stay. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody. Of love, 'twill be my endless theme in glory. With the angels I will sing, 'twill be a song with glorious harmony when the chords of heaven ring. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony.
Chorus again.
In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love.
Well, let's join together for our opening prayer this morning. Gracious God, form a new song within us. Take every fragment of our lives and fashion a new creation. Plant us deep in the soil of your love, that your living water might rise in us, forming fruit of possibility unimaginable on our own. Amen. And you may be seated, and we're going to sing one we haven't sung for a while, but Carla played it. I don't know if you caught it. I did. And I was like, man, we haven't sung that in a long time. She played it during communion. last Sunday when we were serving communion. Are you able, said the Master, there on 415 or on the PowerPoint. And we'll be singing the three verses there. Are ye able, said the Master, to be crucified with me? Yea, the sturdy dreamers answer, to the death we follow thee. Lord, we are able, our spirits are thine. We hold them, make us like thee divine. Thy guiding radiance above us shall be a beacon to God, to love and loyalty. Are you able to remember when a thief lifts up his eye, that his heart and soul are worthy of a place in that one. I don't know how many of you do, but I do remember that from when I was a kid growing up in church, and that meant a lot. So, well, I think we have one. Is he wanting to come down? You want to come down with me? All right. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, I've got the girls are in the back. I missed them. Come on. Oh my gosh, where are you making? Is that an airplane? Cool. Come on, ladies. You're looking pretty with your sundresses on. Uh-oh. It's not very sunny out there right now, is it? No, it's kind of dreary out there.
It's raining.
It is raining, yeah. Are you going to be going out to the fair this week?
Not me. I'll go boating.
You're not going to go?
I'm going to
He's going to where?
Oh,
gotcha. And you're going to the fair today? Ah, do you have one of your relatives? Something? Okay. Yeah, I know mom's out there. Oh, that's right. Are you going to try to catch a pig? Oh, okay. I thought you were trying to get out there and catch one. You're about this little. Yes, I was out at the fair yesterday morning to watch the goat show. And some of our friends that were out there, they got a new little puppy dog, a blue heeler.
Joe's a horse. She'll be out there riding this week. Okay, so let me ask you a question. I think I know the answer, but I'm going to ask you anyways. So, let's say, who do you call on when you need help? Mom? Not Mom? Dad? Yes, Dad? Do we need help with something? Oh, Mommy and Daddy, there you go, yes, yes. How about Grandma and Grandpa? Or Nana, or whatever you call them. Sometimes you can ask them to help too, can't you? And they'll come right away and help you. Now, why do they help you? Why do you think they help you when you need help? Is it because they're stronger? Or bigger? Now one day you'll grow up and get bigger, and then you'll be able to help others that are smaller and little. Because you guys haven't finished growing yet.
I'm not a little.
Yeah. Well, one day you might be 5'11".
Yeah.
I know, so you've got a lot of growing to do yet.
Yeah.
Yes. And you know what? God helps us because sometimes we cannot do everything on our own. We need help. Sometimes we need God to help us. So we pray and we ask God to help us when we're struggling. And God comes and works in our lives in ways that we don't always see. But we're grateful and thankful that God does help us. Okay? All right. You guys can go downstairs. I think Miss Rhea has you today.
So as we go to our time of prayer this morning, yeah, it could be the shoes. It could be the shoes, yes. As we go to prayer this morning, maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share before we pray. And so we're going to give you a chance to do that this morning.
Yeah, Ella really needs our prayer. She'd been in so much pain. She went to the ER, and they gave her a routine that they were hoping helped her. But she just has been miserable, and now they've moved, giving her that shot that will help her back to the end of October. So she really
needs my gosh. Well, the last time I talked to Priscilla about it, she said that they moved it back another couple weeks, so that was like the second couple weeks, but to October?
Wow.
You know what? I'd be either calling or somebody else or go talk to somebody else. Because I remember suffering with that pain, and it was, I barely got through a month. I cannot imagine. Yeah, I don't understand that, but yeah. We'll definitely want to do that and pray also that God will make a way. Somebody else. Okay, we've got several back there. Go ahead, Alice. He had what?
Internal bleeding.
Oh, okay. So we want to remember Rex in our prayers. And then the previous one, for those that might be listening online, was Ellie for pain and internal bleeding. And then I saw another, yeah.
Unspoken.
Okay. Unspoken, and we know God knows what that is. Someone else. We've got several. Go ahead.
Well, Sarah's having a problem with her wrist. They think it's a ganglion cyst. She has to go Monday for a MRI and see a hand surgeon on Wednesday.
Okay. So we want to remember Sarah in our prayers having trouble.
Carol's great-grandmother, and Okay. And then they're going to do another surgery. He has to have a skin graft. They're going to use sharp skin because his incision is from the top of his neck, where down to his tailbone.
Mm.
So they're going to use sharp skin. They said this.
Okay, so Sarah for her wrist. Getting an MRI, trying to find out what's going on there. Gerald, who we've been praying for, is on our monthly, I believe, now, and needing strength for his legs, but also they're going to be doing a skin graft because of the incision there in his back. I'm sure it probably goes most of the whole way down his back, I assume. And so we want to remember him. And I saw some other hands. Yeah. Yes.
Friday was a bad day. He was not feeling good at all.
Yes.
And if you pray for myself, I'm going to travel horses. I'm going to go down and see Tammy for a couple days.
Okay. So we want to remember Bonnie in our prayers as she's going in for surgery. Did you say tomorrow?
Tuesday.
Okay. Tuesday. And then we want to keep Greg in our prayers. Yes, I do know. Talking with Linda and everything, that he has good days and bad days. And so we want to remember them. And then traveling for Bev. And for God's touch. And also for God's touch upon her, because she's still having trouble with her ears. And just feels like there's stuff in there and having trouble hearing. And yes. And definitely want to continue lifting her up. Any others? Yeah.
Lindsay and I are traveling this.
Okay. Yeah.
In Georgia for an internship. And Mary, I don't know if you've heard of Mary Shaw, who was taken to the hospital.
Yes, yes. I heard about it this morning. they texted me, and I'm going to go see her after. After the service today, she was kind of unresponsive last night, and it scared them. And they called the squad and took her in. She seems to be fine now, but they're going to run an MRI on her to see what's going on. She might get to come home later today, depending on Karen said, or they may choose to keep her. So we don't know everything yet, but appreciate your prayers for Mary Sue. Anybody else this morning? Yeah. Okay. Unspoken. Someone else this morning.
Daniel Sherman cracked 3 ribs being impatient this week, and so now he will be learning some patience.
Yeah.
He's in pain.
I can imagine. That's pretty bad. So we want to remember Daniel in our prayers with those 3 cracked ribs and lift him up. We prayed for her last week, but I forgot to mention to you guys what happened. Merle Hampton, Jim and Merle came pretty regularly all the time until COVID hit. And then they didn't come out anymore. And I've talked with them and everything, but Merle had emergency surgery because she had a bowel blockage. It was an extreme pain. And thankfully, we were on vacation and Jim called and left a message. And thankfully, I got it out there up at the lake and called him. And he let me know what had happened and that they had already done the surgery and that everything went well. I saw her up at Upper Valley on that Monday after we got back. And she was doing much better, just weak and tired. But she went home then 2 days after that. So I think it was on Wednesday she went home. But just continue to pray for strength. And then Jody's sister Jill definitely needs our prayers. She's having a lot of complications after the surgery. There was a lot of bleeding during the surgery, more than they expected. They've been giving her blood, platelets, plasma. I mean, all of it. And she's been having a hard time holding things down. Sometimes when she eats, just really needs our prayers. She has good days and bad days. One day she's sitting up, acting normal, feeling good and talking. And then the next day she's just, you know, so definitely needs our prayers. That's Jody's sister. Jim and Kay, we want to continue remembering them. And thankful for a few people that's been taking some food over to them. Because I don't think Jim cooks. Yeah, so I don't know. He had shared something about trying to get Meals on Wheels for them. But if you have a day and you want to make something extra and take it over to them, I'd appreciate it. I know Ellie feels the same way. And I know there's been some people that's been taking stuff over to them. And I think that's all I have. Anybody else then this morning? Yeah. Who's this? Oh, you are. Okay. Yes. Do that. I thought you said Lindsay, but I was, yeah. Okay. So yes, we will definitely keep Lindsay in our prayers. And you know what? Just speaking of that, I'd appreciate it if you keep my daughter Karis in your prayers. She had graduated from Cleveland State and has been trying to find a job. She's had a few interviews. One job ended up being what she thought was going to be full-time and ended up being part-time filling in when people are sick or workers or whatever. And she's like, well, I don't want that. And so she was trying to, she had applied to several other things and nothing was open. So she got a job at Starbucks. And she's working there for now, but she's still putting out resumes. I appreciate if you would keep her in your prayers. She's trying to find that, and I know how hard that can sometimes be in certain fields with so much competition to be able to get in there. And and I know Lindsay knows that too, because we had talked a little bit about that after church one Sunday. So lots of needs there to pray for today, and then I'll come and close us out. So good to always know that we can turn to you and pray in at any time, in any situation, whatever we're going through or for someone else and what they are facing. And so, Lord, we do want to lift up so many of those that have been mentioned today that are in need of your touch, Lord. Lord, we lift up Mary Sue to you today, God, asking for your touch. We pray for guidance and wisdom with the doctors. We pray for Ellie, who's facing all of this pain with her sciatic, God. And Lord, I can't even imagine everything that she is facing right now. But we just ask for not only your healing touch and intervention, but also, Lord, we pray that somehow you would open up a door. And if that means going to see a different doctor or going to see someone else, whatever that may involve, Lord, I pray you will open up a door that she can get the help and relief that she needs. And Lord, we lift up Rex to you today with this internal bleeding, God, asking for your touch today. For Sarah, Lord, with this wrist, God, we ask for your touch. And we pray for wisdom and guidance, Lord, And Lord, we pray for Gerald, God, for healing and strength, Lord, especially strength for his legs. And we pray that as they go in to do this skin graft, Lord, that you'll be with them to be able to take care of that, Lord. Lord, we lift up Bonnie, who's going in for surgery Tuesday, God. We just ask for your guidance and touch with the doctors and minister as only you can do. Lord, we continue to lift up Greg, Lord, asking for your healing touch and strength for him. Lord, we pray for Bev, and God, we're continuing to ask for your healing touch for her and her ears. Whatever is causing this, God, we just ask that you would minister to her as only you can do this morning, Lord, right now, as she's sitting in here and come to worship today, God, that you would minister to her. Lord, we pray as she's traveling this week, Lord, give her a great time with her daughter and grandkids. Lord, we pray for Lindsay and Diane as they're traveling, God, that you'll be with them and others, Lord, that may be traveling. Lord, we think about all of our young people out at the fair and their families that are there this week. God, we just ask that you will continue to bless them and watch over them and keep them all safe. We pray for Daniel, Lord, with these broken ribs, God, that you will just minister and bring healing there. We pray for Jill, Lord, asking for your healing touch, healing grace to be upon her. We pray for Jim and Kay. We continue to pray for strength for both of them, and that you will minister to them. And Lord, we just pray that you will continue to give Lindsay wisdom and guidance and blessing, Lord. And Lord, for Karis, God, we ask that you would open up this door and that you would guide and lead her in the right direction there and open up a door for the job. And Lord, we continue to lift up Merle to you, Lord, asking for your continued strength and healing touch for her. And thank you, Lord, for watching over all of these and being with them. And we continue to lift up all of those on our monthly list. So many of them we've been praying for quite a while. We ask your continued healing touch and grace and strength and presence to be with each of them. And Lord, we just thank you for those things. And we ask your blessing upon this, the rest of this time and our service today. Lord, may you be with us. And may you just speak to us as we break the bread of your word and encourage us and help us to be able to call upon you whenever and whatever we are facing. And we thank you for that as we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen.
Thank you for joining with us in prayer. And now we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. And we thank God every day for the provisions in our lives, the home that we live in, the clothes that we have, the food on our tables, all of these things. And not only that, but God blesses us abundantly so that we can be a blessing to others. So as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Thank you. let's join together there for our prayer of dedication in the bulletin. We thank you, God, that sourness gives way to sweetness when we are generous. Multiply these gifts that the world may know your life-giving way. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Our scripture reading this morning is coming from Psalm 80. This is our lectionary psalm for today. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 3 and then verses 8 through 16, which is the lectionary for today. So you can follow along on the PowerPoint there. Shepherd of Israel, listen. You, the one who leads Joseph as if he were a sheep. You who are enthroned upon the winged heavenly creatures. Show yourself before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Wake up your power. Come save us. Restore us, God. Make your face shine so that we can be delivered. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, then planted its roots deep, filling the land. The mountains were covered by its shade. The mighty cedars were covered by its branches. It sent its branches all the way to the sea. Its shoots went down all the way to the Euphrates rivers. So why have you now torn down its walls so that all who come along can pluck its fruit? So that any boar from the forest can tear it up? So that the bugs can feed on it? Please come back, God of heavenly forces. Look down from heaven and perceive it. Attend to this vine, this root that you planted with your strong hand, this son whom you secured as your very own. It is burned with fire. It is chopped down. They die at the rebuke coming from you. Let your hand be with the one on your right side, with the one whom you secured as your own. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us so that we can call on your name. Restore us, Lord God of heavenly forces. Make your face shine so that we can be delivered. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word today. And that God would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Amen and amen. Well, as I often do, I share something funny. This is a little bit longer. I hope you'll hang in there with me on it. A man is driving down the road and breaks down near a monastery. He goes to the monastery, knocks on the door and says, "My car is broken down. Do you think I can stay the night?" The monks graciously accept him. They feed him dinner and even fix his car. As the man tries to fall asleep, he hears a strange sound. A sound like no other he's ever heard. The next morning, he asks the monk what the sound was, but they say, "We can't tell you because you're not a monk." Well, the man is disappointed, but thanks them anyways and goes about his merry way. Some years later, the same man breaks down in front of the same monastery. The monks again accept him, feed him, and even fix his car. That night, he hears this same strange sound that he'd heard years earlier. The next morning, he asks what the sound was, and the monks reply, "We can't tell you because you're not a monk." Well, the man says, all right, I'm dying to know. If the only way I can find out what the sound was is to become a monk, how do I become a monk?" Well, the monks reply, you must travel the earth and tell us how many blades of grass there are and the exact number of sand pebbles. And when you find these numbers, you can become a monk." The man sets about his task. Some 45 years later, he returns, knocks on the door of the monastery, and he says, "I've traveled the earth and I've done what you've asked. There are..." Holy mackerel. I guess I should have read that number before. Somewhere in the trillions, I believe it is, 371 trillion blades of grass and, 231 trillion sand pebbles on the earth. The monks reply, "Congratulations, you're correct. Now you're considered a monk. Now we shall show you the way to the sound." The monks led the man to a wooden door where the head monk says, "The sound is behind this door." The man reaches for the knob and the door is knocked. He asks, "May I have the key?" And the monks give him the key and he opens the door. Behind the wooden door is another door made of stone. And the man requests the key to get into that one. The monks give him the key and he opens it only to find a door made of ruby. He demands another key, who the monks there provide it. Behind that door is another door made of sapphire. And so it went until the man had gone through the doors of emerald, silver, topaz, and amethyst. Finally, the monks say, "This is the key to the last door." Finally, the man is relieved at the end. He unlocks the door, turns the knob, and behind the door, he is astonished to find the sound of that, find the noise of that strange sound. It was truly amazing, an unbelievable sight. But I can't tell you because you're not a monk. It's kind of funny, you know, when you read that, the doors, if anybody's familiar with the book of Revelation, in God's presence, the heavenly throne room, and all of those stones and precious metals are a part of this heavenly thing, and also a description of God's people, which is referred to in the book of Revelation as the New Jerusalem coming down from heaven. But anyway, that I thought that was pretty good. Restore us, God. Restore us, God, or oh God. Have you ever faced a time in your life when you were so desperate and you were desperate with God in the midst of that? Psalm 80, as we saw, is a prayer of desperation when the northern people of Israel were facing the Assyrian invasion. The Assyrians were a powerful military might and a nation that came in and pretty much wiped out a whole lot and took a whole lot of other people into exile. This is separate from the southern nation of Judah that we often talk about when you hear me, that went into exile into Babylon, because they faced the Babylon about 200 years later. So in this one, we're dealing with the northern kingdom. And here they are. They had strayed from God. And if we had read the middle section there, which is not a part of the lectionary, you can hear a little bit of that language coming through about them straying. It's a little bit in our reading today. But they were in great distress. And whoever this psalmist was, this worshiper, it does tell us a little bit in the very beginning of the caption part that's, a part of some of the psalms, that it was the Asaph, one of the worshipers found in Chronicles. And I don't know if you've ever been in that place where you were desperate with God. There's been a couple times I can remember. One way back a long time ago, and for many of us, this is probably not a desperation situation, but I can remember my first time leaving home and going to college, and I was 8 hours away from home. And that first semester, I was so homesick and so lonely that I remember a few times going into the little prayer chapel room. They had a couple of them. They had several. There was one on every floor in the dorm rooms. And I remember talking to God and having some serious conversations about God. "I don't want to be here. I don't want to go through this," kind of a thing. If you've ever been there like that. But I want to say something about that, because sometimes we get into our heads that prayers of desperation are not prayers of faith. But if you really think about it, prayers of desperation are an exercise in faith. If that wasn't true, we wouldn't even be going to God in those times. Now, I know And I can honestly say this and confess this. There's been a few times that some of the people that I've pastored would wait till they got in the worst case scenario and then cry out to God. And I know I remember a few times saying, if they would have just called on God sooner instead of waiting till it got so terrible. But you know what? We don't know what life's going to bring us. We don't know what kind of things are going to happen. You know, if you think about northern Israel and what happened to them happened quickly. The Assyrians came in and took over, and it just turned their world upside down. But I want you to notice that in the desperation of the psalmist, three times the psalmist prays these words, and they're going to be kind of the focus of my message today. Restore us, God. Make your face shine so that we can be delivered, rescued, or saved, depending on the version you're reading from. And there's something about the simplicity of this prayer for restoration. When I was talking to the kids, you know, who do you turn to for help? Just the simple prayer and crying out to God, God, help me in this situation. I need it right now, you know. And it shows where our faith lies that we turn to God. And I believe that that simple prayer can be deeply moving. It's a prayer that is found in the Psalms in various places, especially the one that the psalmist prays here. Turn your face, or may your face, or make your face shine upon us. We all know it because it belongs to Aaron's prayer. Benediction and blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord give you peace and, you know, so forth. Found in Numbers 6. But the psalmist here is longing for God to restore life and well-being and joy. So my question is, what does this prayer say to us today? And as I looked at it, and I had some things in mind, and then I kind of started reworking it, a couple things kind of jumped out at me. The latter, I think you'll understand. But the first one, this really spoke to me when I was reading this psalm over a couple times. And that is, talk to God honestly. You know, when I read this, I was just amazed by how honest this worshiper of God, this, if it was Asaph, whoever it was, the psalmist there. And the psalmist's prayer models a way for us that I think we can approach and address God. Let me just say it this way. The psalmist here in talking to God just kind of lays it out all on the line. I don't know if you've ever talked to God and you just kind of dumped everything out. I had a great friend. He was my RA, resident advisor, on our floor. And I got to know him. He was from Michigan when I was at North Central University. And one of the things he said is he said, Jason, whatever you're going through, he says, you can always go somewhere off by yourself and you can just honestly pour out your feelings, your anger, your frustration, your loneliness, everything to God. And you know, me, I got that little bit of righteous reverence that I kind of popped up into me, and I was like, I don't know if we can really talk to God like that. And he said one of the most profound things that I've never forgotten. He said, Jason, why can't you talk to him about it? He already knows what's in your mind and heart. Your frustration, your anger, your whatever it may be. And I've never forgotten that. So let me ask you a question in light of what I just said. Are you ever afraid to tell God how you really feel because you may think it's sacrilegious or irreverent or something like that? The psalmist encourages us not to be afraid to express our true feelings. In fact, we could say it even like this. The Psalms encourage us to talk to God about everything. We don't have to be afraid. The Psalms speak for us when we can't. You know, there is one part of the Psalms that I struggle with, even to this day. And that's when there's some places in the Psalms where you'll read and they'll say, kill our enemies. And I will struggle with that. Now, the reason I struggle with that is because I know what Jesus taught us to do. Jesus taught us to pray for our enemies and bless them and do good to those who persecute. You know, and all of that. But I heard Walter Brueggemann, Old Testament scholar, UCC minister, taught down at Columbia Theological Seminary in Georgia for decades, wrote tons of commentaries and books. He wrote a book and he talked about lamenting. And he said if Christians knew how to lament, there would be less problems in our world. And what he meant by that is he meant to pour out those things to God when we're feeling that way. It's like a catharsis, you know. You know, sometimes people go to counselors to talk about things they're going through and issues they're facing and all of that. Well, we can go and we can talk to God too. And I know that the Psalms have helped me for 40 some years, and every single one of us at one time or another has felt that life is sometimes can just be too much for us. And we know deep down inside that our own planning and our own understanding does not go far enough to help us. Sometimes the changes we need are just beyond our power to achieve. And so we're desperate for help. But you know what? Some people look at that and think they're weak. But that's a good place to be. The Norwegian theologian Ols Husby once said that the two essential conditions for prayer are faith and desperation. And I'm sure many of us can supply the desperation. But we also want to be able to ask in faith. And there's a real sense in which that makes a difference for us. Talk to God honestly. And then the second thing, which is obvious from the title of my sermon and the whole thing, is that we ask for God's shining face. This part really just kind of jumped out at me. I mean, think about it for a minute. A face. When you greet somebody or come up to somebody and you see a certain look on their face, there are times when you will just kind of sidestep that person because you see what's on their face, especially if they're people that show their emotions through their faces. But when we see a smile on somebody's face when you're coming up to them, guess what you're going to do? You're going to go right up to them and greet them and talk to them and so forth and so on and socialize and communicate. And so the psalmist talking about God's face is important because the Hebrew word for face is the exact same Hebrew word for presence. God's presence. So Hebrew thinking is if I see your face, I can see what you are about. See who you are. Just how like we read people's faces and know good or bad about how they're feeling and so forth. And so the psalmist then, what's the psalmist praying for? He's asking for God's life-giving presence. And that's what we're talking about. And when we're being honest with God and we talk and share and tell God how we're feeling and what we're going through and our desperation, don't forget then to say, Lord, bring your life-giving presence into my life or into this person's life or into this situation. I need it right now. And the psalmist pleads for the shepherd of Israel to act, to shine and act favorably in delivering God's people. And it's interesting that in the New Testament, Jesus, as the face of God, the presence of God, is called the good shepherd, who manifests God's life-giving presence to us and to others and acts graciously and favorably. What a bold prayer. I was thinking about that. What a bold prayer to pray amid the crisis. Might we be so bold? Well, remember what the writer of the Hebrews says, come boldly to the throne of grace so that we may receive help in our time of need. And then also, not only that, but the other thing here that kind of jumped out at me is the psalmist reminds God of what God has done in the past for his people. The psalmist pleads with the keeper of the vine. The keeper of the vine. Who's the vine? The vine is Israel in this passage. And the vine that God brought out of Egypt, the psalmist says, like you brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and planted them. What is the psalmist doing? The psalmist is reminding God of how God was faithful in the past to God's people. And now I'm asking you again, God, do it once again. We need your help right now. And in the New Testament, we are told Jesus is the vine. And we are the branches, and he is the one that we attach ourselves to, abide in, remain in, and we receive nourishment to help us in times of our needs. The psalm calls us to pray, not just as individuals, but as a community. We are to pray as desperate people that realize that life is sometimes too much for us, that we aren't up to the task, that we need help at times. But we also pray as people of faith, people who know that God, listen, God is smiling on us. And when we come to God, God's not angry. God doesn't have a frown on his face. God is smiling and saying, come and tell me what's going on. Come and tell me what's happening. And we cry out to the shepherd and keeper who will restore us. Are you desperate today? Simply turn to the Lord and ask for help. Restore us, God. Amen. Amen. Well, let's just take a moment and greet one another and shake a little hands, I guess, if you'd like to. And say hi to a few people, and then we'll close out there with our little chorus there that we're all familiar with, God is so good. Or you can follow along there on the PowerPoint. God is so good. We're going to sing all three of the verses there and close out this morning. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to for me, he cares for me, he cares for me, he's so good to me, he
He's so good to me.
Well, let's join together for our benediction. Go forth knowing God has planted our lives. May the Lord bless and keep us. May the Lord make his face shine upon us, be gracious to us, and give us peace. Amen.